things that we will do. And we don't accomplish anything for God without seeing what He wants done. We can't originate in our heart, our mind. We can't think of something big enough or good enough to do that would bring God glory. It's got to originate with Him, and He's got to place it in us. And when we see something, then we can run with it. And when we run with it, He can cause it to bring forth fruit in our minds. I want you to turn to two scriptures, and I'll probably do more than that, but I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and Matthew 25, verse 14. And if you, you can turn in your Bible or turn on your Bible, whatever way it works. And if you didn't bring a Bible, then I think Teresa will turn it on for you for those scriptures. But as you're getting ready and finding those, 25 years ago, God gave me a vision. More than a picture. More than a movie. If you go to a movie, or I don't care if you sit in your living room, I don't care how big the TV you were able to buy is. I don't care if it's 80 inches. On your wall, you can still see things around on the other side of that screen. And so you're aware that you're not in that movie. You may be immersed in it, but you're not actually in it. You're standing from the outside. But when God actually gives you a vision, and He gave me two. The first one was for me. He gave it to me on a Sunday at church. And I didn't know by Tuesday I would come this close to death. And I believe if God had not given me a personal vision for my life, I would not have lived through that week. He did things in my heart that I had to have Him do, or I could say I think I would have even died and gone to hell, although I was already trying to minister. God had to give me a personal vision. And then He gave me a vision after that, the second vision that I've had, and it's over 25 years ago. And I didn't understand the context then, although I tried to put it to work. I didn't understand the context until 2014 when God selected me and You elected me. And then in 2018, it's one of the most humbling days of my life, that You would re-elect by acclamation. And I see that this is the time in my life that picture God gave me. I don't know what He will have beyond this. I don't know what will be after this. But I know this is the time that this vision from God comes true. And a vision is more than a movie. It's like the place that you're at bubbles away. And you all of a sudden are in a different place or in a different time. Or maybe both. Maybe you're in a different place and a different time. And so you've left where you are and you've entered another scene. And that's what happened for me. And if Teresa, if you could flash up that picture. God showed me a plant that was about 18 inches tall. And I can't say that it was this plant, but this is as close to what I saw that I can find. In searching on Google, I saw this plant and it was beautiful. And I felt the Lord say to me, He said, "This is your ministry." Now, Sherry and I had started out as youth pastors and we had done a good job, I felt. Took a group from 40, brought it to 80. But Brother Miller had asked us to shift focuses and start a ministry to young married couples and come into the office and start helping him do administration. And the young married couples group took off. I mean, it had life. It was a huge part of the life that was in that church, Word of Faith Ministries. And so when God said, "This is your ministry," I felt a tinge of pride and my shoulders went back and I said, and I told God this, I hate that I was like this, but I didn't know. And I said, "I know, God, isn't it beautiful?" Because I thought I thought He was saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And He didn't say a thing. It's like He took the camera and panned it back, and I could see a row of these plants that had to be 5 miles long because it stretched across a valley. And this is probably where I completely, where I responded correctly, and I thought, wow, there is more than I thought. This is a lot bigger than I realized. And I think God was happy with that response. And then he widened the picture, and I could see row after row after row. And if it was 5 miles to the end of the row, then I also felt that I was looking 5 miles this way and 5 miles that way, and I was seeing however many rows could fit that far in each direction that wide. And once again, I messed up. And I thought, God, I'm going to be a mega church pastor. Wow. You know, and I know at that point, God had to say, I don't even know why I bother trying to show this one these things. See, like Jesus and his disciples, they don't get it. But God did one more thing. He had shown me how far the rows went to each side. But then he opened it all the way up to my left and to my right. And I saw another worker standing in each row. So I had one row. I didn't have a valley. I had one row. And there were fellow workers, men and women of God, that had their own row. And we were side by side bringing in God's harvest. That's the picture I want you to see. That's the vision that I feel God has given me for this place and this time, that we each see the scope of what he has and we get busy so that we can fulfill it. The row I'm describing, you don't have time to take 3 days a week off. Come on, Pastor Larry said you ought to take 2 days a week, but there's not time to take 3 days a week off and do and get done in the remainder of the lifetime we have to bring in what God wants us to bring in. The plant was my ministry. The row said there's more to do, and I want you to see that no matter how big the scope of what you're doing now, I believe for every one of you, God has more for you to do. Amen. But he's got rows beside you. He's got people for you to do it with. We are better together. I don't know who originated that. I got that from Steve and Hallie, but they said that when Abby and Kenny Moore were getting married, that was their motto, better together. So I don't know who originated. It doesn't have to be original with me to be true. Come on. We are better together. The scope of what I'm talking about will wear you out if you're doing it by yourself. You can't make it to the end of your row on your own. You will get tired. You will get thirsty. And come on, harvest happens in summer. Harvest happens when the sun is hot. You will get burned. You will get burned out. You will get burned down. You will never get to the end of that row and do all that God wanted you to do if you're doing it alone. And so in the Heartland Conference, when I remember when I shared this for the first time, I remember some words came back that people kind of laughed and, you know, who does he think he is? He can't make up a vision that speaks into my life. Hear my heart. I didn't make this up. God showed me a picture. God showed me something for this time and this place. I'm not trying to get you to do something. I'm trying to get you to see that God will help us together do more than we could ever do on our own. And when we work our rows together, I mean, in other words, don't you get too far ahead of me and don't you lag too far behind so that you find yourself isolated. Women, y'all are good. Y'all don't go to the bathroom alone. Y'all get it. But men, we get isolated. and nothing good happens. God said it's not good for a man to be alone in any context. But when we're with each other, we can encourage each other. One of the things I've tried to learn to be, I married a cheerleader. I had never dated a cheerleader, but I married one. And because I thought cheerleader was way above me. I'm a nerd. Cheerleaders are not nerds. And I thought a cheerleader's job was to be beautiful. I just thought they were the cool, beautiful people. I didn't realize, no, their job is in their name. They cheer people on. They help people who are in the midst of the battle do a better job than they thought they could do. They help a team that's behind at halftime to come out of the locker room even though they were dead, tired, going in the middle. They help them to come out and come from behind and win the game. And Sherry told me, I did pretty bad. We went to a church early on, and I did a pretty bad, and I've done some bad jobs at some churches, just sitting there with the face that you didn't know what I was thinking, and I was just thinking. Didn't mean it to seem bad to you, so you forgive me, and God will forgive me. But Sherry told me, man, if we don't come in here and cheer these people on, she said, you can do it by yourself. I will go to a church, and you will travel by yourself, and I repented to Sherry and to God. I said, okay, I want to be a cheerleader. And I want to cheer people on because I don't know how they're feeling in their row that week. I don't know if you're on the verge of saying, I can't do this, I quit. And maybe Sherry, maybe I could be the one that says, you can do it. We're doing it together. We're better together. Amen. So I'm here. I'm not the supervisor. I'm not sitting in the truck with the air conditioner on. Come on. I'm in a row with you. And I'm here to encourage you and do this thing together. I do believe that the Lord has, and I just want to say about the rows, we have Pastor Floyd Bean here today. Just talking about the scope of rows, he planted a church in 1950 that he is still pastoring. 68 years in the same church. I won't ever do that, and you probably won't either. We didn't start early enough. Come on. But that's the scope that I'm talking about. God's got a lifetime of harvest for us. So we got to get busy bringing it in. I do believe that God has spoken a word this year from Haggai chapter 2, verse 9, that the latter glory of the house will be greater than the former. A lot of the translations say the glory of the latter house. And if we think that way, we could get prideful. I mean, the administration that I have right now, I will never be what I'll never be a Dr. Tunstall. He's here. I'm here. I will never be a James McDowell. It's not a word that says the house right now is greater. It's the promise of God, the way he's always worked, the God who saves the best for last, that he said the latter glory in the house, the one house that has always been, the latter glory in the house will be greater. Jesus isn't coming back just in time to save us before the devil completely overwhelms us. Jesus is coming back for the best expression of the church that there has ever been in 2,000 years. So turn to Matthew 25, you're there, verse 14. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants, delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them. He did something with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, how appropriate would this story be when you look at it in context and realize that the Lord goes away? And it's now been, we're heading towards the 2,000th year since he left. He's been gone a long time. Amen? And the beauty, let me just say this now, the beauty in this story, where what he didn't put into the story is the master went away, but he said, I will send another helper. Hallelujah. Yeah, thank you for that one, praise God. Let me say it again. He went away and they were on their own, but in real life, he went away and he said, I'm going to send another helper, and none of us are on our own. Amen? But he went away for a long time, and he came to those servants and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents also, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. I believe with all my heart, hopefully you've heard me say, this is so possible. This is so easy. This is so doable. Sherry and I, 1 plus 1 is 2. God, you gave us 2. You made the 2 1. We had 4 kids. 2 times 2. We multiplied. And it was not only easy, it was fun. Hallelujah. Amen. But in ministry, when I stepped into the youth group and came of age to help influencing things that were happening, we had a program called Speed the Light, where young people gave money that bought cars for missionaries to drive around the countries they were in. And our youth group for years, since I'd been a kid, had been given $1,000 a year. And when Stuart Sherrill, Mike Hughes, Seaburn South, and Stanley Reeves came of age in the youth group, those 4 at one time were enough to vote and say, let's give $3,000 this year. Amen? One of the first things I realized that we can do more, we can take this to a higher level, we can multiply, we can double. Coming out of Bible college, Sherry and I were entrusted with a youth group that had 40 people. In 18 months, it went to 80 people. We've planted 2 churches. We were blessed to launch from a home to public services. We would grow to about 50 in the home. The first church grew to 250 in 4 years when we left. The second church grew to 150, and in fair disclosure to John Legge, it declined to 100 right before we left. I don't understand that one. But I know that we had shown multiplication and growth, and the foundation that was there has allowed John Leggett to go on. We've not yet doubled the conference, but I don't just believe it's possible. I believe it is the will of God, and it's what we're called to do. We in the state of the conference, we're showing growth year over year. Come on. But that growth over time, I don't know how long until Jesus comes again, but that growth over time should be a multiplication, not an addition. And so the one who had 5, I believe every one of us can do this. Or if we're a 2-talent person, the one who had received 2, he went and gained 2. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will make you ruler over much. But in verse 24, he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. Or that my impression of you is that you're unfair. You expect more for us than is humanly possible. This is not my fault. This is your fault. This is your fault for selecting so badly in selecting me. Come on. This is your fault for expecting too much. I knew that you reap where you've not sown, you gather where you've not scattered seed. So you ought to, and I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, I'm giving you back your 1 talent. But his Lord answered and said, you wicked and lazy servant, you know all of that. You ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. From this, I see that the Lord Jesus Christ expects growth. And really, he's made it possible to multiply. Amen? Receive that. I'm not saying you have to multiply in 1 year. I've never done that. And we don't know how much time each of us have, but believe that you've got to have faith in the God who called you. and put you in your row, you've got to have faith that you can multiply. Now, when it hasn't manifested for a while, do we get discouraged? Me before you. I get discouraged quicker than anybody I know. I'm not saying it's easy and automatic. I'm just saying we can't let go of the faith just because we're in a rough season right now. We got to hold on to the vision. And another principle from this, we've got to track our stats. I received 5, I made you 5 more, here's 10. I received 2, I made 2 more, here's 4. And yet sometimes as pastors, we don't know if the first Sunday in June, tomorrow, we won't know if we have more or less or the same as we had last year. Why? Because we didn't count them. And we didn't write it down. We've got to know if we're growing, to be, and you say, well, it's not about numbers. No, but for some reason, God takes a record of them and he writes them down in the Bible and he's going to write them down in heaven. God is tracking numbers. And one of the things that we're about to do in the Heartland, we're already supposed to be doing this. But for those of you that have seen the opportunity that Josh Hanna will come in to consult with the Heartland Conference, to be a coach for 1 year, and this is for the ministers in the Heartland Conference. It's also available to the ministry leaders in the local church as long as their senior pastor has signed on. The pastor's got to sign on to the vision. But you say, I want to grow. Help show me how to grow. I promise you, Josh Hanna can show you how to grow. And he is guaranteed. I don't know how he's going to pay you off if it doesn't work. But he's guaranteed that you will grow 7% in 1 year. That's in attendance. You'll see growth in your finances. You'll see growth in your leadership. You'll see growth in your volunteers. All things that you can and will track. Because you'll have to write them down in church metrics. And what does that do? That helps you know, am I headed the right direction or am I not? But anyway, that's part of the principles. Another principle, this man that went on the long journey did not hire servants the day before he left. What do you mean by that? I mean, he didn't say, I'm leaving, you're coming on, this is what I expect you to do. He took time to train them and show them how to do it. That's what's going to be going on with Josh Hanna. There's a lot of pastors that want to grow, and they say, I'm tired of you talking about how to grow. Just please show me. And God has opened a tremendous door with Josh. And during that year that he works with us, consults with us, he will be identifying the coaches. This is all started last year when Conrad Lowe spoke to us. Terry and I could see the need to do this and started trying to raise up coaches, but we didn't have the coaches ready in the conference because they needed to be coached first. So during this year, Josh will be identifying the coaches in the conference that will do this ministry as we go forward. And another thing, this man that went on the journey did not hire them to fail. He did not set up the man with one talent for failure. I remember years ago, sitting on the conference executive council, interviewing a pastor who wanted to come back in the Heartland Conference. And he told us a story. It's sad. It broke my heart. He said, you know, the conference that I was in, he goes, they sent me to several churches knowing that they were going to fail and close. I wanted to say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that was the heart of the conference. I don't think they set you up for failure. You told them you could do something. You said, dear Jesus, use me. Give me a place to go do your ministry. And they believed in you. I mean, I don't know the story, maybe. But I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't send you to fail somewhere. Terry wouldn't send you to fail. This Lord did not send that one man out to fail. He sent him out to succeed. When God entrusts some ministry into your hand, he's not setting you up for failure. So I want to say now, point one, I want you to be God's blessing. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God, the first words he's going to speak, the first thing about man. And so this is the mandate. Why did he create man? You will hear it in verse 28. But God, and he's talking, he said, let God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are consulting. And they say, let's make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. He's fixing to give a mandate. He's fixing to reveal his purpose for creating mankind. But before he told us to do something for him, he did something for us. He put a blessing inside of us. He put an inherent ability. He put a component that we couldn't do. If he had not blessed, then we could not have done what he told us to do. But once he put the blessing in, the ability was there to do the words. And the words were, be fruitful and multiply. See, what God wanted was a bunch of little holy babies. He wanted little precious children that would grow up as mighty men and women of God, who all they would ever know is the worship and love and pursuit of God and the complete obedience to his purposes. But before Adam and Eve could do that, they did not have any holy babies because they went out and sinned. And so all they had was little sinners, right? That's all they had. And so somewhat of that ability was removed. They lost the ability. I mean, they still, in a measure, they seemed fruitful. They had children. They multiplied. We covered the earth, but they didn't have the kind of children that God intended from the beginning. And so God had to set the plan of redemption into place so that he could make it possible once again to have spiritual babies who would grow into men and women of God. It was called the new birth through the death of Jesus Christ. And that's the mandate. When he blessed them, I think the word that we would use nowadays, he put an anointing in them. The ability is there, and it's not there in our sinful state, but in our recreated state. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, that ability is there. I see Ms. Vicky Chitty Parker in the back today. Hallelujah. When Pastor Larry was here, so many people were touched. People were coming forward, you know, just to speak to him, to meet him. I mean, because I'm telling you, everybody he talked to that I saw, he prayed for them. I mean, there was just an impartation. But we felt the pressure, amen, as the ones that had brought him in and he came on an airplane. We felt the pressure to get him lunch before he got back to Will Rogers Airport and in time to get on his plane so that he could head for what he was doing next. And so the line was kind of long, and Sherry was trying to encourage Vicky, you know, Vicky, I know you want to talk to him, but a lot of people are talking to him. We, you know, he's got to get back to the airplane. And Vicky said, God is going to work that out. She said, I'm going to get my blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. And Vicky Chitty Parker, did you get your blessing yesterday? Amen. See, God has the blessing. He's put it inside of us, an anointing that gives us the ability. So we want to be the blessing. God wants us to be fruitful and multiply, and we want to. We've heard that mandate, and sometimes we've tried to do it without the blessing, without the anointing, without the ability. We've tried to do it in our own strength, and we've given up almost because it doesn't work. Flat out doesn't work without the blessing. So point number one, be the blessing. Point number two, open your spiritual eyes to see harvest. You know, a big time waster for me, sometimes you're trying to read through Facebook just to keep up with the needs of people, to keep up with the celebrations. I mean, it's It's become how you do church nowadays, right? To keep up with people, you have to read Facebook. But something that wastes time is people will put these pictures on there and they will say, "Do you see it?" And I will take 5 or 10 minutes, 4 minutes before I even look at the, I don't even know what you want me to see. You know, and then they used to have these pictures back in the 80s, and last week on Facebook they had one again. It's not a real picture of anything. It's just these random things that all looks the same. But he said, if you'll put your nose on the screen and slowly pull it back, the picture will emerge. And so, you know, here I am, like, and I see it's a butterfly. I see it. And I'm like, oh my goodness, it's clear. I've never done it on the computer before. It's so much clearer than those posters ever were. I'm like, wow, I see it. I see it. What a time waster. And yet in John chapter 4, Jesus had to go through Samaria. Come on. He went and he had an appointment with a woman who this woman, one testimony from her, would bring a whole city out to come and meet Jesus for themselves. But while Jesus is doing this awesome work that God had told him, you know, clear your calendar today, get to Samaria, because this is an incredible harvest of souls. Disciples, it takes 12 disciples to go to McDonald's to get lunch. I mean, they're all gone. They all come back and they see Jesus and he's right in the middle. He's eating the food that God has prepared. He's so fulfilled. And they're like, oh, this is so awkward. Somebody tell him you're not supposed to talk to women, you know, remind Jesus you're not supposed to talk to women. And plus, man, he's Jew. She's Samaritan. Oh, my goodness. He's, you know, just crossing barriers. He should not cross as a good Jew. In the middle of them trying to get rid of her so that they can take care of him, feed him, when the city starts coming out, he said, lift up your eyes and see the harvest. You think we just planted, so it's 4 months until there's a harvest. He said, there's a harvest right here, and I wish you guys could see it. Now, that doesn't mean at all times. Harvests have a limited opportunity. Sadly, if we don't see the harvest, if somebody doesn't see it and go get that harvest may never come in to the kingdom. And so the harvest is where it gets very specific in your ministry. You have to see the person with the need. You have to see the group of people that are open right then. You have to see in what direction they are from your church, and you've got to figure out, how do we talk to them? How do we bring them in? But I believe, maybe not you, but I know I have missed harvest before. And Jesus saying, it's there. Sometimes you don't even have to plant the seed. Sometimes somebody else planted the seed and I didn't even send you to do the work. I sent you to do the fun part. I sent you to do the testimony that somebody came to Christ. So be the blessing, see the harvest. And number three is bring life everywhere you go. Ezekiel saw a temple in chapter 47 that has not been built yet. It'll be built before or after, sometime when Jesus comes back to this earth to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And he saw a vision that from the temple, a stream of water started running out to the earth. And the further you went, the deeper the stream got. And it even flowed all the way to the Dead Sea. And this body of water that was so dead that nothing could live in it, this water that flowed from the temple, when it entered it, everything lived. Everywhere the water goes, things live. And I just made a correlation with that in John chapter 7, in verses 37 through 39. Because we're waiting for another temple to come that will be built. It's prophecy in the Old Testament that's coming. Come on. It's echoed in Revelation chapter 22. This will happen. But between Herod's temple and that temple, the Lord Jesus built another temple. It is called you and it's called me. 1 Corinthians, do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And so Jesus stood up on the last day, the great day of the feast. He cried out, if anyone is thirsty, hello, that's me. That's you if you're smart. We're thirsty. He said, come to me and drink. As the scripture has said, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of water. But this he was speaking of the Holy Spirit. Now he goes on to say a couple things that don't matter in context. This he was speaking of the Holy Spirit who had not been poured out because he had not. Well, that was then. This is now. The Holy Spirit's been poured out. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of water. Everywhere the water goes, people will live. As I move in my daily routine and go to restaurants and gas stations and schools and marketplaces and into my neighborhood, and as I go to special places on missions trips and outreaches, as I go out for a singular purpose, whatever I'm doing, there's a river that flows through me, and when I go, there are people that are going to live when I touch them because the water is going to flow to them. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to fulfill that mandate of being fruitful and multiply because everywhere I go, there's a river. Hallelujah. The blessing is the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing. That Holy Spirit is going to flow and help me do it. And I need to start wrapping this up. It's time to be praying. You look at the Great Commission in all the mandate in all the gospels. Jesus didn't say to talk to the lost one time. He said it in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all the nations. Mark 16, go and preach in all the world. If they believe, they'll be saved. If they don't, they won't. Luke chapter, in Luke, he said, you are witnesses of these things, but you have to go to Jerusalem and wait. You have to be endued with the power before you try to be a witness. In John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus breathed on them. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins you retain, they're retained. Whoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Come on, he's talking about witnessing, going forth in the way he sent us, but we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses. It's like an electrical device. So many things we use, our cars, we depend on them to work. But they're not going to start for us when we go to leave if they weren't charging while they were driving over here. Come on. If we left a light on, you know, somebody said, I have that feature where the lights turn off. Your lights are on. No, they turn off automatically. Mine always did. You know, sometimes it took 10 hours, 18 hours. They always turned off, but it didn't always start again. Right? The car doesn't start if it didn't charge on the way over here. It'll be out of the energy. And so we've wanted to witness sometimes. We've wanted to be fruitful and multiply. But because of sin, because of the curse on the earth, we didn't have the blessing still inside of us. We have to plug back into the Holy Spirit regularly. Day by day, hour by hour, Holy Spirit, bring me back to the top. And don't just fill me. It's not just for me, but overflow me so that I can fulfill this mandate. Hallelujah. I'm asking you, would you stand now? I'm asking you to believe that I didn't make up a vision. I'm asking you to believe that God showed me something I could be a part of in a time and a place that I did not know where that was 25 years ago, but I know where it is now. That we are in a harvest field together. And we can do something greater than we ever dreamed possible. We can bring in a harvest for Jesus Christ. So let's realize that we're better together. Let's be God's blessing. He blessed us. Let's go ahead and use that blessing to be fruitful and multiply. Let's open our eyes and see the harvest. Let's don't be guilty of sitting in our church waiting for the harvest to come when the harvest is ready, waiting for the reapers to come to them and bring life everywhere you go. Hallelujah. We may be a small part of the Heartland Conference this morning, but we could be a very influential part of the conference. I'd like to ask you if you would believe that this vision is for this place and this time, would you come forward and say, God, I want to do my part in my row? Not saying you haven't already started in your row. I'm just saying that fresh and new, you realize the scope of what God wants you to do. And you say, God, help me to bring the harvest in. Hallelujah. Let's begin praying one for another right now. And let's pray the blessing over one another. Lord, fresh blessing, fresh pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Lord God.